Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
This will restore the historical exemption for churches and religious institutions. As many of you will know, in this country, we have a long history of providing an exemption for those institutions from taxation. And it is, I can say confidently, certainly in the state of Florida, the vast majority of churches in the do not pay those taxes, and certainly the vast majority of fire districts do not collect those taxes. And so this will simply restore that historic exemption.
You remember when the fire services like Pace and Avalon Fire last year, or was it 2 years ago? I think it was last year, changed, and the fee for being protected by Pace and Avalon Fire basically went through the roof. And you had businesses paying, I thought I remember it was, you know, tens of thousands of dollars, like $20,000 fees. Churches who had never paid a fire service fee were paying exorbitant amounts of money. Individuals in their homes were paying really high amounts, and everybody kind of lost their minds for a minute, and rightly so, because when your taxes get all jacked up like that, you think, what in the world? Okay, so this is Nathan Boyles. He is the new state representative for District 3. That's the northern portions, mostly of Santa Rosa County, and then I think it kind of bubbles into Okaloosa a little bit at the top, if I remember correctly. It's been a while since I looked at that map, mostly because that district was vacant for a long time after Joel Rudman, you know, bowed out in order to run for Congress, and then that didn't work out for him. So anyway, Nathan is now the representative. And at the Santa Rosa County delegation, legislative delegation meeting the other day, he was talking about one of the local bills. Local bills are bills that arise out of the local concerns, and then they vote on them at the local delegation. And they still have to go through the process at the state. But I believe the reason they do this is where I'm on my maybe status here. The reason they do these is because it's a way to file bills that are important to the local community without having to use up your limited number of, I think it's 5 or 6 slots that each state rep has. Senators can file as many as they want. So I think that's why they do it this way. And if I'm wrong, I apologize. But the point is, these are bills that are going to get filed and go through process and presumably have no opposition. Local bills are usually pretty straightforward, the ones that they bring this way. So anyway, one point is that it won't have any, there will be no more taxation for fire service on churches, which is kind of an interesting question. On the one hand, churches historically have been tax exempt, but churches get fire service and they get sheriff service and they get, you know, a lot of benefits of being in the community. And I'm not advocating that we need to be taxing churches. I'm just saying it's an interesting question because they certainly consume a service. But the premise of a tax exemption, for example, for a church, is that it's also providing a benefit, right? It's a good thing. It's not just that you can't tax them. It's that they are useful to the community, and churches make the world a better place. And so we offset the fact that we have to send cops and fire and code enforcement around or whatever in order to, you know, take care of them the way we do any property. I wouldn't, you know, business, residential doesn't really matter. You know, churches catch fire too. But the idea is that, you know, we don't charge them because some people would say because you're not supposed to tax the things of God. Other people would say because, you know, they're a benefit to the community. But either way, that's the reason why historically we don't do it. But, I mean, you know, it's a fair question to ask why. You know, you should always be able to answer why we do a thing that we've always done. We're not just trying to be nice to churches. Second is large businesses, especially ones that are over 40,000 square feet.
The second thing it will do will be to provide some relief for businesses who have large facilities over 40,000 square foot. We want to continue the good work that our friends in Santa Rosa County are doing in inviting good high-wage jobs, manufacturing facilities, etc. The structure that was put in place put a disproportionate burden on some of these larger facilities, and this simply brings that back in line so it's fairer across the board for all businesses who need to pay their fair share of the cost, but not an excessive amount.
Yeah, and then the third element of this is putting a cap on residential structures.
The final thing this will do will be to place a cap on the amount of taxes, fire assessments that are paid by residences. And so I heard from a number of citizens who saw significant increases in the taxes that they paid historically on their residential structures.
And the question, how much is that cap going to be on your house?
What this will do will restore a $250 cap per structure for residential structures, ensuring that everybody is paying for these necessary services, but also ensuring that no one is overpaying at the end of the day.
Yeah, and $250 seems like a reasonable limit on something like that. So that's one of the bills that they put through at the meeting, the Santa Rosa County delegation. Oh, John, I love it when I get it right. I looked up the map for District 3.
Right?
I had it exactly right. It's all of Santa Rosa County except for the beachfront stuff, like down in Gulf Breeze and Navarre Beach is all Alex Andrade's area, which that's a that's in the last term that when they redistricted, they had that. But then also it's the northern, it's everything above I-10 in Okaloosa County except for Crestview. Like, there's a carve-out around Crestview to push that into District 4. All right, so, just one of the things that happened this week, kind of a good thing. 4-3-7-16-20. Okay, when did we get rain overnight? Because I didn't notice it, but everything's wet.
Right.
I mean, like it just rained. It's weird, everything. So, be careful when you're driving because it's a little slipperier than you might think, and just expect a few puddles where you maybe not expect them. Meanwhile, looking at the ThreatNet radar, there's thunderstorms everywhere there's water touching land, is the way I would describe it. So the storms kind of start over New Orleans as the bulk of them. There's a couple of sporadic pieces here and there, between here and there. But then everything, the intense line is basically from there right over to, Corpus Christi. But it's everywhere right along the coast. So I would think we're probably going to get some of this maybe, later on in the next couple of the next several hours as it sort of meanders in our direction. 516 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you need that next vehicle or just want to, sometimes the reason you don't buy a new car is because your next car is because you think, I can't afford a next car. Oh, okay. Maybe true. Maybe also not true. How do you know? Well, go look at Frontier. Find out what they've got. Good quality used cars, cars that are not brand new, so you don't have the new car smell, but you do have, cheaper price because it's not brand new. Somebody else has owned it for you. So you get those cars. They include a warranty up to 10 years or 100,000 miles, so you know they're going to take care of you. They're good quality cars. But also, you might find out, hey, based on the repairs money, that I'm spending on this car to keep it in good shape, you might actually, you might break even. You might save money getting a newer car because, at a certain point, it costs more to maintain the old, Bessie, than the new as yet unnamed car, right? So anyway, go to Frontier, look around, see what they've got, find out what the prices are, and you might discover, not only can I love my car again, which is a fun experience when you've had an older car, but also you might even be, just about breaking even or saving money. I don't know. Ask them. They're the experts, not me. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Seems like there's more identity theft in the news every day.
Another major healthcare breach was reported today, resulting in the exposure of
sensitive consumers have been a victim of identity.
That's because there are endless places that could accidentally expose you to identity theft in a breach or simply by mistake. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second. If your identity is stolen, we'll fix it, guaranteed or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Let's go. You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at vaxassist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Let's go. Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Newfan, Kevin Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Chaz Michael Michaels, an ice-devouring sex tornado, spawned in the hellfires of Motown.
Troubled childhood? If you call it being a 9-year-old kid with a 35-year-old girlfriend troubled.
Made this here with all the ice on in the booth. At the gate outside, when they pull up, they give me loose. Yeah, jump out, boys, that's Nike boys.
Good morning, 520 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. If I can get him to stop dancing. Go ahead, David.
I'll never stop. Can't stop. Won't stop. The White House telling federal agencies, Andrew, to prepare for potential mass firings if Congress doesn't pass a funding bill by September 30th. Yesterday, the Office of Management and Budget issued a memo directing agencies to create reduction in force plans, identifying programs that could face cuts or permanent job losses.
Yeah, I think one of the identifying factors is things that they believe are not mandatory by law. So this is a way to basically delete programs that they just don't think there's a need to have them anyway. We go through this every once in a while, right? There's a government shutdown coming. Look, we've heard of the government shutdown, like every single time. But then again, with Trump, you never know. I mean, you know, maybe we shut it down and we find out what happens then. I don't know.
It's tough telling with the government shutdown shuffle.
the hokey pokey.
Yeah. The Department of Homeland Security is bolstering security nationwide after a detainee died and two were injured in the shooting yesterday at a Dallas ICE facility. The shooter has now been identified reportedly as 29-year-old Joshua John. He was found dead with a self-inflicted gunshot wound on the roof of a nearby building.
Did you follow the details on this at all? So he's blindly firing into the ICE vehicle inside of which there are these ICE detainees. He doesn't have targets in his sight other than the van. He's not a marksman of any kind. God knows how he got this weapon. It's a weird weapon to have. Anyway, but if he's against ICE, he's shooting the people who, from his point of view, would be the victims of ICE because they're detainees. He's shooting them blindly inside of a van. Like, what? It's a weird thing. It's a horrible thing, but it's a very weird thing. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Very, very odd. Authorities have now declared wanted fugitive Travis Decker dead in Washington State. He'd been on the run since June after the remains of his daughters were discovered. Preliminary findings suggest he died in a remote wooded area.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620, if you ever want to text me about any matter whatsoever. I love that somebody texted and said, Perdido Key got hit about 2 a.m. with the water, with the rain. So, you know, it's been here off and on throughout the morning. I like that. What else got going on? Mayor D.C. Reeves in his press conference on Tuesday mentioned something that I would support completely about renaming a street.
I wanted to announce, and we've spoken with the family, that our plans to name a portion of Belmont Street in honor of the late Reverend John Powell. So the block between DeVillers and Roos on Belmont will be named with council approval in honor of Reverend Powell. And as I told his family when we had offered this, to say that there's probably no city block in the city of Pensacola that is better defined by one person or one person's effort than that block for Reverend Powell.
Yeah, that stretch of Belmont right there between DeVillers and Roos, I mean, pretty well known. It's right on the north side of what's now Five Sisters, you know, that intersection, up the road from Blue Dot or around the corner from Dwarf or whatever, however you want to refer to it. But yeah, remember when they were the county was talking about the renaming of the road for either Charlie Kirk or Turning Point USA Road out of Scambia High? And I think the most common reaction to that was, well, what about Reverend H.K. Matthews? And what about Reverend John Powell? And, you know, for sure.
I expect there to be some good support from council members, don't get me wrong, but obviously that is part of the process, so you'll see that come to council in October, and it will be an honorary designation. Obviously, that's as we would do with any of those. That isn't changing the street from Belmont to that. There will be an honorary signage on both corners of Roos and Belmont for the street.
And that what he means by that is, like, you know how Bayfront is now, it's a long first responders Pensacola Memorial Road or something, you know, it's it's meant to be. It's an honorary designation. It's not actually the name of the road. So you don't. It doesn't change on maps. It wouldn't change on your address. It's just there's a sign that says, "Oh, by the way, this stretch of Belmont is also called this," in a purely purely honorary kind of way. So sounds great. I mean, the more we can remind people who the great figures in Pensacola history are, I'm all for it. So that's good stuff. The other thing the mayor talked about the other day, and I did not get a chance to talk with him about this yesterday, but I was stunned to hear this, that apparently, Park Mobile, which is the app you use downtown when you're parking, and, they've kind of the news stories have been about the coming half-off discount for residents and the senior citizens plate or something that's going to make it so that they don't even have to pay when they're downtown. That'd be for, senior residents. But also that we have a new problem, which is that the red lots, the hateful, evil, terrible, horrible, no good red lots, I would personally never, ever, ever park in. That's on top of how I don't pay to park. I would never park in a red lot because, that's how you get booted, or that's the ridiculous fees they charge, or just all of it. Like, I don't even like to, I actually accidentally drove into one. Because right across from the Hilton on Pensacola Beach, there's a shopping center lot that's a red lot, and the Hilton was full, and I was going to an event, and I drove across the street, and I went into the lot, and it was as I was entering the lot, I saw the sign that said, and I'm like, oh, no, I don't even want to be in here. And, I mean, the cameras, God knows what they're going to try to charge me just for, tread tax or something, like, just for being here. Yeah, somebody's gonna throw a boot at my car while I'm driving through. Anyway, this company is so ridiculous. This red lot company is just, God bless them, don't. Anyway, so which, by the way, on the beach, the way to do it is to just go park in the casino beach lot, because there's always parking spaces there.
Right.
Except once a year when they have an air show. Anyway,
I'm just worried about you sometimes, bro.
That's fine. It's 5:30 here, and I'm. Be worried. Anyway, so apparently the way I understand this is now the red lot people are using Park Mobile also, which is the same app the city uses for the blue lots. And the problem is that if you park in a city space that is geolocated next to a red lot, the app can get it wrong. Like, the app can think you're in the other lot instead of the one you're in, because apparently its accuracy down to the foot ain't so great. And so the problem is, if you, instead of entering in the number physically, the kind of thing that an old person like me would do, you just, it pops up, I think you're in lot 4823-B. Okay. And then you pay $30 instead of $4 by accident.
Also, we've learned of a few companies. One thing that has happened with the private lots is they are now using Park Mobile, which all in all isn't a bad thing. What do we want? Goal number one, we want to mitigate confusion for our residents. So whether you use a private lot, a much more expensive private lot, or a dollar an hour city-owned space, if it's the ease of use of having the same app, and that makes life a little easier for the resident, that should be our primary goal, and it is. But one of the confusions that we're seeing now is if you're not paying attention, you may actually end up paying the higher rate, because if you're right next to a five-digit zone that's using Park Mobile, then it will grab the higher rate in that private lot, even if you might be in a city space.
Oh, that sucks. That really sucks. By the way, I love the mayor. But I think one of the best ways to mitigate confusion on parking is to not use words like mitigate. you could just say reduce. But he's a journalist. He thinks with a good vocabulary. Anyway.
So what we're trying to, really two things. Number one, we have communicated this to Park Mobile. This is something we've just found recently, that to try to make that delineation more clear in terms of when you're using the word city of Pensacola, that type of thing, for private lots. But also the fail-safe is all of our zones are two digits. So if you have anything that's not two digits, if it's like a zip code, then that's definitely a private lot. So we're obviously going to try to increase awareness, and would appreciate, again, you guys sharing that if you want the city-owned rate, the 50 cents or the dollar an hour, then it would definitely be a two-digit parking zone. We don't have anything else other than that.
All right, so everything else aside, John, how can you be sure you're paying the right low, cheap city rate when you're parking in a city blue lot and using Park Mobile. You make sure you're in a
zone that's not close to the other one.
Two digits. Two digits.
I just want to make sure I'm not parking close to the other one.
Zone 24. Zone 48. Hut. That's fine. Anything you'd say when you're the quarterback. You're not going to say 24-8-4-2-3-8 zone. Just two digits. That's the key. I don't know. I had enough coffee this morning. 437-1620. Oh, is this true? Oh, somebody just sent me a text and said that they got a text from or an email from Park Mobile that they had a data breach. Is that true? I don't know. Okay, great.
Lovely.
It's fantastic. Feel safe. I don't know anything about it. Oh, the woman in the Coldplay embarrassment.
Yes. What?
So, her husband was at the concert also.
Oh, really?
With a date.
No.
Yes. But apparently they were like separated already and each knew that they were dating other people. But yeah, her husband wasn't out of town. He was there with somebody else.
Must have been a good
Fox
show.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Violence directed toward immigration officers in Texas.
Fatal shooting at an ICE facility in Dallas, killing a detainee and wounding two others. The shooter has been identified as 29-year-old Joshua John, who shot and killed himself after opening fire on that ICE facility in Dallas. He left behind ammunition that appears to be five rounds of 8mm Mauser on a stripper clip with the words anti-ICE written on one of the bullets.
That's Fox's Lucas Tomlinson. President Trump blames the left, saying this violence is the result of the radical left Democrats constantly demonizing law enforcement. The president welcomes Turkey's President Erdogan to the White House this morning. The two leaders differ on Israel's war in Hamas. President of Palestine, that's Mahmoud Abbas, will speak at the UN General Assembly today in a pre-recorded video. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 78 degrees, partly cloudy skies here this morning. Taking a look at our news headlines today, a man that worked for the Escambia County School District is accused of drug trafficking. Kendrick Johnson was arrested yesterday. He worked as a coach for the Escambia County Public School District. The district says that the allegations are reprehensible. The employee was immediately fired once they learned of those charges. Also, an Escambia County school bus aide was arrested on sex offense and pornography charges related to his work with the school district. 33-year-old Martin Walker was arrested this week after allegedly having inappropriate conversations with students and showing one a pornographic image. Surveillance footage reportedly captured Walker making the vulgar comments and gestures on the bus. He is charged with soliciting lewd conduct with a student and distributing obscene material to a minor. Walker's pleaded not guilty. He remains in the Escambia County Jail on $45,000 bond. A 60-year-old bicyclist remains in critical condition today after a crash on Davis Highway yesterday morning. FHP says the bicycle was hit from behind by an SUV in the inside southbound lane. $60 million in Florida Cancer Innovation Fund grants are now available, with the state continuing to invest in the fight against the disease.
This cycle's applications will focus on research related to preventative nutrition as well as emerging medical treatment options for cancer patients.
Governor Ron DeSantis there, he says with lifestyle changes, about 40% of cancers could be preventable. First Lady Casey DeSantis is a breast cancer survivor. While she stresses pharmaceutical treatments are critical, she does believe on focusing on diet and nutrition and says that that could make a big difference. The University of West Florida has appointed Cass Boatwright as Assistant Vice President and Chief Operating Officer. Boatwright is a triple alumna of UWF. She'll oversee key operational functions like emergency and facilities management to enhance campus safety and efficiency. VP of Finance and Administration Betsy Bowers praised Boatwright's leadership and commitment to the university. Well, a pharmaceutical company will pay millions to the state for allegedly giving kickbacks. Attorney General James Uthmeyer announcing yesterday that Gilead Sciences has agreed to pay the state $3 million to settle claims it paid providers to improperly promote the company's HIV and AIDS drugs. Uthmeyer said Big Pharma will be held accountable when it puts profits ahead of patients by unlawfully promoting drugs. The $3 million will go to the Florida Medicaid program. It is 534 News Radio, 92.3. And let's get a look at our forecast with Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first warning weather update. We do have a wet day in store for us today. 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 86 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 72. For Friday, 40% chance of rain in the morning, then clearing out in the afternoon, high near 86. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 68. Going into Saturday, beautiful and sunny weather with a high near 87. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 68. Second Act of Channel 3 News first warning weather team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, we've got 78 degrees. Our next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Pensacola Hardware is much more than a hardware store. In houseware and giftware, you'll find luxury candles and detergents, along with the finest cutlery, cookware, and the ever-popular woodware. We have the best selection of grills and grilling accessories for your home and backyard. Oh, and don't miss our great selection of birdhouses, feeders, and garden accessories. Shop local and make Pensacola Hardware your first choice in making your house a home. Come see us, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown Pensacola, where customer parking is always free.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Hey, Pensacola. Get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show on News Radio Pensacola, 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Good morning, 537 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Just a heads up, our News Radio ThreatNet radar shows a line of storms currently crossing, I suppose legally, the border between Louisiana and Mississippi. Well, I mean, it's crossing the border, and I'm going to presume it's got its papers in order and isn't going to get stopped at some ICE detention facility. Yeah, I mean, there's not even ice in the storm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Happy Thursday. Anyway, this storm's... I'm really sorry. This storm system stretches all the way from, well, as you say, the border of Mississippi with Louisiana all the way over to Corpus Christi, and it's headed our way generally vaguely in a menacing way. So we'll see it later on this morning. All right, yesterday had a... Sometimes I regret all my decisions. Yesterday, I had a good chance to talk with our friend, Mayor D.C. Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thanks for having me, Andrew. Good morning.
Always good to have you. So let's talk about Baptist, because I think since we last talked, there has been, things happen. The county finally moved and decided that they were going to fund $500,000 to purchase these two outparcels or acquire these two outparcels, which are going to be used for a community center and some kind of health care. You have said, and you repeated yesterday, that that's all fine and good, but I wonder if we can't maybe sell them for more money directly and recoup some of the delta cost of the $2 million that is not being paid for into the cost of the demolition. You seem to indicate that we could go one way or the other. We're going to go down both paths at the same time. Anything I'm misunderstanding here?
No, that sounds about right. I mean, we're in conversation with the county. And again, let's delineate between contribution to the project and a property transaction. We are now in the property transaction phase. There was no contribution necessarily to the project, which is where we are. I think we need to assess it before I go back to our council members and our citizens and say, hey, we have to come up with additional dollars out of the CRA or anywhere else. The whole idea of this conversation about adding additional parcels was in anticipation of a Delta. So it would be fiscally responsible of us to say, well, how much money can these buildings get on the market versus what the positive community impact would be of these other two buildings. So in no way are we ruling that out. And I think there is positive community impact as proposed, but I'm going to be very focused on performance, meaning it's great to talk about a community center. It's great to talk about healthcare. How quickly is that going to be happening? Because if it's just selling a building to the county and it's going to take 5 years for that to come to fruition, then I think the community's much better off going ahead and closing the Delta in tax revenue and moving along with the larger project. So that's why I say the devil's in the details on this.
Yeah.
So we certainly appreciate some offer of trying, something that could be good for the surrounding area, but we have more assessment to do, and we got to just see again what the details are and what that looks like, really more than it is the actual dollars itself.
Yeah, I mean, if I don't know what the assessed value of these properties is, but if you can sell them for $1 million and somebody's willing to develop them into whatever they develop them into, and that's $1 million to help defray the cost of the demolition that the county was unwilling to give the $2 million for that they kind of originally hinted at or indicated at. Yeah, I mean, I get that as a decision. We'd all like to have a bunch of things. It's a question of what we can afford to make happen. Speaking of that, something came up yesterday, and the audio was just so bad I haven't been able to play it. The quality just wasn't working on this particular part of the conversation. But I did hear you say, when asked, how the building is going to get demolished, whether it's going to be by, explosives or wrecking ball, or they're going to bring in the, the AC-130 from Hurlburt to do target practice with the 105mm of justice. I know that's not going to happen, but a boy can dream. that you said you didn't know how the thing was going to get demolished and you'd get back. Have you had a chance to find out?
I haven't, but, I was laughing in our office yesterday. I said 10-year-old me would be very disappointed. That would have been my first question.
Yeah, right.
<That's>
right. How did you get so old, DC?
$17 million and all this boring stuff. Like what? How big is the wrecking ball that's going to go? Which window will be first?
Right.
And let me clarify. We collectively, the city, everybody on the project certainly knows granularly how this is going to go. I just mean off the top of my head, whether there'd be this part would be imploded or this part would be wrecking ball. What I can tell you right now is, number one, we've been so focused on capital stacking and getting us ready to go that we really haven't asked. I haven't asked those questions. But secondly, obviously, this is going to be completely already spelled out in the winning bid and all of that. So that answer exists. It's just not necessarily in my brain at the moment. Other than this, then this is what's important. There will be several months of remediation. So it will not be, hey, we hit the button in December and a building starts to come down. Anytime you've ever seen these types of demolitions with asbestos, with things like that, then that's what makes it so expensive. I mean, to put it simply, you basically have to almost bag up the entire parcel, so that those things don't get airborne, and then you've got to remediate. So I can guarantee you that the first huge chunk of time is going to be on that before we think of the, the 10-year-old me version of how the actual structure will come down.
And including, by the way, as you've mentioned a couple of times, that the concrete crushing will take place off-site instead of right there in the middle of the community, which is a good note. And also, just you mentioned it there briefly, but let's make sure people heard, the intended timeline is December. Like by the end of the year, the towers in the main hospital won't exist anymore. That's the goal, right?
Well, it will begin. It will begin by then. So, I mean, it's going to be – demo is going to be a long process. It'll be throughout 2026.
Not if you use the ships from Hurlburt, it won't. It will not be a long process. I'm kidding.
You know what? We should have thought of that. Yeah, we should have thought of the missile theory. We save a lot of money.
Eglin, test range. Come on, baby. I know it's not possible, but again, a boy can dream.
Your creative thinking in city government.
Right. Again, our 10-year-old selves are very disappointed that we didn't pursue this more eagerly.
Just pack it. Just go an alternate route. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Just on that note, I'm trying to think where the city line is. I think that is county right there. But we had it's a common enough thing. It was a bicyclist. Based on everything, John was there right when it happened, or right after it happened.
Yes.
And this was a bicyclist, it looks like, was in the middle of the night, 4 a.m., riding across Davis Highway, which is a very common place for people to cross. You know, people, vagrants cross there all the time. But it's not just there. But Mr. Mayor, we see this where bicyclists and pedestrians still in our town do incredibly risky, dangerous things crossing roads, terrifying drivers and being hit by drivers a lot of the time. You got a lighting study that you guys are working on. Is that adequate? I mean, to me, it's a mindset thing. I don't want the border wall down Cervantes everywhere, but like, I don't know how to fix this either.
Yeah, and you know what? And I think we probably spin in the hamster wheel for a while if we were to talk about how we can control individual behavior, be it a pedestrian or a driver. I mean, let's talk about red light cameras. You know, there's lots of stupid decisions we see on those cameras, right? That, and so will we be able to ever stamp out the lack of common sense as it pertains to those things? No. But I think that's why there's so much conversation around the built environment as its best way to mitigate. So whether that's better lighting, whether, you know, what's the best we can do? What's the best consolation prize to controlling individuals' lack of common sense as it pertains to decisions they make? I think it's to mitigate the risk by making that sidewalk a little bit wider, making that bike lane a little bit more protected, those types of things that can kind of protect us from ourselves as much as it can make us more comfortable to ride our bikes or walk with our children along a busier street. And, you know, and you've heard me say this so many times on the show, we spent 100 years building for the car and the thousands before that building for the pedestrian.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we're paying for some of that. We need cars. We don't have a subway system here. We need vehicles to be able to move efficiently. But we might have kind of jumped the shark, so to speak, over several generations of how efficiently they need to move in comparison to pedestrian or bicycle safety. So I think that's our task, Andrew, is just to say, listen, you know, how do we lower risk? How do we improve safety outcomes? And if someone's going to still go across eight lanes of road where they aren't supposed to, that's unfortunate, but I don't know that we'd ever be able to control that fully, as you can imagine.
And they 100% are, and I agree with you. There's very little to be done about it. Although I will say, it was nice of you to break some news telling me that you are advocating for the Pensacola subway system. So, okay, we'll look forward to more details soon.
Yeah.
American Cruise Lines. I think it's cool that a cruise ship is coming here. It's a small cruise ship. I think it's like 180 people or something like that. The price tag on this thing that's going to go from New Orleans to Pensacola and stop in Biloxi and other scenic points between is $5,000. Good Lord. But maybe this is a kind of a compliment to us?
Yeah. Listen, I think so. There's a lot of misperception about, you know, I see obviously the conversation about, well, look how expensive it is and why would someone only want to go to Pensacola to New Orleans? Well, both of those questions can be answered pretty simply, which is no cruise line that I've ever heard of necessarily picks their arrival or departure destinations based on solely the local market. Obviously, this is where someone to fly into and to fly out of. And for us, you know, first of all, what a compliment that someone, you know, a private company would want to take on financial risk and say, hey, your city is attractive enough for outside visitors to want to spend an extra day here before or after a very expensive cruise. I think that's a compliment to us, right? I mean, they can pick lots of cities to do this, and they do. So when we had our initial meeting and the fact that, you know, I think the other thing forgotten here is, you know, Andrew, one of my big FAQs as mayor always is, well, why don't we get a big cruise line? Well, we waved bye-bye to that decision probably 40 years ago if we would indeed to have built a terminal, because now you would have to spend the amount of money that the large cruise lines would require you to put in an infrastructure is outrageous. I mean, it'd basically be like, build a new airport for us and maybe we'll come there. So that's not really feasible. So the fact that this size cruise line could do it under the existing infrastructure, I mean, you're going to load up at Plaza de Luna. You know, it's
cool.
As simple as that.
Yeah.
So it's not like we've got to go build a parking garage and a terminal and all of that. And so, I mean, from our position, why would we not want people that would want to come in and come out of, of a city? And again, you know, you don't, every cruise we've ever been on, we didn't say, I'm going to stay a week in Fort Lauderdale or it's only for Fort Lauderdale people or Miami people. This is meant to be, and again, that's the compliment I take is, you know, what a great thing for our market and what a compliment to our market that someone called us. We didn't call them. They called us and said, man, we think this will be a great stop for us in and out. And of course we hear that and we say, amazing. We'd love for you to bring tourists that with disposable income that want to come support our local businesses.
Yeah, the cruise to Aruba is not for Arubans. That's a great point. It's a compliment to Aruba and that people want to go there. Hey, hang on for me for just a second, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, obviously you know that there was an article in the paper in the PNJ that comes out that says you, our mayor, and our District 2 representative, Alex Andrade, don't get along, haven't talked to each other a lot. I find this very frustrating. I consider you both very good friends. I admire both of you. I respect both of you, your abilities as legislators or as executives. And I find it frustrating when my good friends don't get along with each other. Can you, I don't know, what's going on? Can you clarify?
Yeah, listen, I think on the outside, I can understand that frustration. You know, all I've said in the article, and remember, I mean, when I hear about these things, it's through the media, right? So not a phone call, not a text, not a, hey, let's catch up type of thing if there's a concern. And so, you know, and remember, this is spurred by 7 phone calls and 7 letters to our city council saying, why don't you get a say? Now, but the irony of that is I have a great working relationship with all 7 of our council members. So what do you think when they think something might be amiss or there's a concern, what did they do? They all emailed me, called me and said, hey, why are we getting this letter? Like, this is odd. And so whether we agree or we disagree, that's what I mean by functional communication. Every other person, every other disagreement, if it's Mike Kohler, if it's Michelle Salzman, if it's Senator Gates, this is the only outlier where it doesn't get handled that way. And so I agree. I'm happy to have whatever conversation needs to be had, but it's just when we start from the place of we're going to run to the media to have a complaint or we're going to circumvent the normal functional communication in order to accomplish some political goal or to make some point, then it's kind of broken from there. And that's not certainly something I do. I don't call you if I have an issue with Representative Andrade or anyone else. I try to deal with it, whether I agree or disagree, in kind of a more professional way. So I think that's all I'd ask for. And I've had the same phone number since I was 16 years old. I mean, he knows exactly where to get a hold of me. And you're right, for the better of the city, the same way I called him on election night, say, hey, for the betterment of the city, we should be working together. And then, 6 months later, the media gets called about an issue. And then that I hear through the media. So,
I'm going to tell you the same thing that I'll tell Alex. I know Alex listens to the show as well. Please guys figure it out. I know not everybody can get along, but please guys figure it out, because for the good of the community, I think that it's better if, all of our leaders can get it. I know they cannot always, but I hope that you will. Let's finish as we always do with the lightning round. I've got one for you today that you're going to like. It's the last one. But before we get to that, it was National Cheeseburger Day recently. If you had only a burger with cheese and no other toppings, what is your cheese?
Oh man, that is a mood based decision. I would say either cheddar or Jack, depends on how I'm feeling.
All right. I got you. If there were ever going to be an actor who is well known enough to be elected president, who would that be? If you had to guess, we had a Reagan, of course, but who would it be? Schwarzenegger's not eligible. What person, just because they're an actor, has enough positive cred they can get elected?
Well, if Chris Farley was still with us, I feel like he'd be
That'd be the Robin Williams Man of the Year candidate, right? We elected the comedian because he's a comedian. Okay, I got you.
Right, exactly. I mean, I think, listen, in this political climate, anything is believable. I think you could come up with just about anybody.
And the last one, and here I have to tell you to be brief because we're out of time. Are you or a no on the 2 review ball strike requests in the major leagues that they're going to implement next year?
Let's go ahead and do it. I mean, it's 2025. Let's get it right. Let's not lose a playoff game over this scenario.
I figured you'd be there as a former sports guy, but I just wanted to check. Very good. Mayor D.C. Reeves, as always, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you next week, sir.
All right. Absolutely. Thanks.
Absolutely. Yes. And that, by the way, that perspective on the cruise, it is funny because when I first saw it, I'm like, who in Pensacola wants to cruise to New Orleans for $5,000 for a week? Like, what? But then when I talk to the mayor and he says, Andrew.
I like that. Your voice went, Andrew.
It's like he's going to be patient with me. And, it's actually for people who live in, say, Montana and want to cruise the Gulf Coast and come here to see New Orleans and Biloxi and Pensacola and bring tourism money to us. Oh, that makes sense. Thank you for correcting me.
He was very calm. I know, he's with your with your interpretation.
In my hypothetical scenario. Yes. So 5:54 on News Radio 92.3. So yeah, that was a good moment. Hey, if you need to get a new roof, or you're not sure, you know, you might be just kind of wondering whether it's maybe insurance is telling you need a new roof because your one you've got is, you know, 13 years old, and they're like, it's got to be less than 10. Well, okay. But it could also be that, you know, you've got a leak and you're not sure, or you've got just, I mean, some concerns. You're not sure if you need a new one and you've been kind of putting it off because it's going to be expensive. Okay. Well, it's not getting cheaper. I not to state the obvious, but it's not, you know, you're going to put it off. Well, in 6 months or a year, it's not going to be less. Right? It's going to be more. So one of the advantages of calling Quality Roofing Solutions is they'll kind of walk you through the options. And, you know, about 10% of what they do is repair. About 90% is replace. And one of the things that Brian Ward, the owner, was telling me is he says the reason so many people replace is because for insurance purposes, and especially if it's improving the quality of the roof significantly, you can often get a big reduction in your home insurance rates. But also because if you only repair now, you probably, if it's an older roof, you're going to have to replace it in 2 or 3 years anyway. You might as well just go ahead and replace it now. It's going to be less expensive and you get all the benefits. So anyway, but they'll walk you through all that and explain it. Quality Roofing Solutions has been around since 2006. They've done about 10,000 roofs in our area. Brian Ward started the company. He loves helping out local things like Art Gateway, local youth sports, financial education. They did some Dave Ramsey stuff with the Santa Rosa County School District last year, I think it was. So anyway, the point is, they're there, they're invested in the community, they're helping people, they have a 4.9 rating on Google. So find out why so many people have been using Quality Roofing Solutions. Oh, by the way, they warranty the roof for its lifetime, so which is pretty unheard of. QualityRoofingSolutions.com, 777-0961.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Weaker Home Hotline, this is Woody.
Woody, my house is hotter than an outhouse in July.
Our licensed AC techs can help.
Ooh, I mean, it's sweatier in here than the sauna at a sumo wrestling camp.
Say no more, sir. With your knack for detail, really, say no more. More than 10 years, thousands of positive reviews. Nobody cares like we care. So trust your home to the know and schedule your AC repairs online at wecareheatedair.com.
When a storm is brewing, you need reliable information at your fingertips. Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for comprehensive hurricane coverage you can count on. Our team of anchors and reporters are in studio and at the County Emergency Operations Centers, bringing you live updates, safety tips, and emergency resources. From storm tracking to storm information, we've got you covered. Stay informed, stay safe. When the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season.
Love electronics? Join the award-winning team at ADX Communications, home of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN 1330, and Pensacola's Playlist. We're looking for an experienced electronics technician who can keep our stations running smooth, from the studio to the transmitter tower. Competitive pay, great benefits, and a fun, fast-paced team environment. Apply today at catcountry987.com. That's catcountry987.com. ADX is an equal opportunity employer.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games?
Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app.
Tap that app
to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
But I don't like you. Probably never will. You're a smug, unhappy little man, and you treat people like they were idiots.
At least he didn't say my name. 5:58 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is... Oh, dang, I said it. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Kamala Harris faced some protests while promoting her new memoir, 107 Days in New York City.
You can't protest, Mamala.
she was at a Manhattan book shop, I guess.
Word salad.
Yeah,
word salad seems fitting.
Absolutely. When she was interrupted by pro-Palestinian demonstrators as she spoke about her 2024 presidential campaign. And good news, William Shatner is not in the hospital despite recent reports. The 94-year-old's agent, Talent Works, said on Wednesday that Shatner's at home doing well, and they denied claims that he was rushed to a hospital over a blood sugar issue.
I did see that on social media, and I did immediately think, I have no idea whether that's true, because on social media, you have no idea whether anything's true. It's just, you don't know, so I'm glad you clarified that. That's good news. All right, we'll be back in just a minute. Stick around.
Local Talk in the morning, 5 to 9.